Sí. Years has been for prayer and to get ready for the evening service. Ask the Lord's presence within our midst. Our Father, again, we ask for your grace and love and mercy bestowed in this hour on those that need it. And Lord, Gene has gone back into the hospital, as you know, and Lord, be with him and Barbara, and whatever it needs to be done, inform the doctors in a special way as well you can, to help and get him back on track. We love him dearly, him and Barbara. They're very effective and essential here in our midst, and fellowship with them. And bless the fellowship tonight as we sit at the table and rejoice together in knowing one another. We are our new members, our new visitors. We thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, thy blessings tonight upon Pastor as he guides us in the scriptures. Bless the music now as we sing unto you. And Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise for it all in Jesus' wonderful and lovely name. Amen. 200-200. If that isn't love. What a Dottie Rambo song. 260, God sent his son. Since Jesus came into my heart, A flat.
Yeah.
come and receive our offerings. Help us with our offering this evening. For Roger, want to take offering? Lead us in prayer also, we draw you. Thank you.
Father, we thank you again for your love and your watch here. We thank you, Lord, for what has happened to me today, Lord, and all everything I've done and said through songs that we preach it. And Lord, we just ask that it continues today, that you will be blessed and you will be honored in all the aspects of this service. We again thank you for the preaching that we had today. We thank you for the message, Lord. We just continue to bless this family, Lord, as they visit with us. And we pray that you be with Pastor Whitfield as he opens the book of life to us tonight, and also be open mind and be tuned to your word. Again, thank you for loving us and dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. We thank you for this offering, not only for the giver, but the gift, Lord, that you'll multiply to here for this part of this church. Thank you for our missionaries that we support, and thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Back me up, key is C, someone to care. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there's someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there's someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles, like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. When your disappointments come, and you feel so blue, there's someone who cares for you. When you're needing a friend until the end, there's someone who's a friend to you. Someone care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tear from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you.
Got enough. Tammy, do you have one too? Another special? Huh? Come on, let's have a good sing.
He is a potter, and I am the clay. Molded in his image, he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks, he just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. It is all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter. He is the potter, are emptied and broken. I came back to him, a vessel unworthy and so scarred from sin. But he did not despair. He started over again, and I bless the day he didn't throw that clay away. Over and over, he molds me and he makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. It is all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. It is all because Jesus didn't throw my clay away.
All right. I like good singing. And that's good singing. In fact, when you read about heaven, there's an awful lot about praise and singing and rejoicing and such as that up there. A lot more than there is about preaching. We're going to be singing more than we're going to be preaching up there. So, and that's going to be wonderful. Okay, are you ready? You want to sing this one down here?
Sure. Everybody else says, why not?
Working our way up there.
If he hung the moon, then he can do just about anything, right? Amen. Not just about. He can do everything. One mighty swoop of his hands, he threw out the stars. He knew where they'd land. So if think you're just drifting along, then I have good news. If he hung the moon, I know he will help you. And if he holds the sparrow and heart, he'll hold you too. Consider the little the beginning of time, you were on his mind when he hung the moon. Now you may feel like the world lays hard on and even your closest friend in life is pulling away. Though you have tried so hard and lost, there is still hope. Just look to the there you will see just how much the Savior really loves you today. And if he hung the moon, I know he will help. The sparrow in flight, he'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more he loves you.
He loves you
in the beginning of.
You were on his mind
when he hung the moon. In the beginning of time,
you were on his mind
when he.
I don't know if Roger and Jackie have a song tonight. No? She's shaking her head. All right. It's good to be here tonight. Had a telephone call a little while ago from Barbara Rice, and Gene is back in the hospital. He spent an extra week in there after his open heart surgery. And has been home for a few days, but he's got a fluid buildup around his heart in there, and I've forgotten now what the medical name of it is, but Barbara called from the emergency and said she had to take him back to the hospital. So keep him in prayer. And then Brother Arlen Shire was telling me a few minutes ago that that Art Beasley is out in Balboa Hospital out there. We need to pray for Art. He's having difficulty breathing. And then Brother David Hannibal is at home this evening, but he's preparing for some more surgery tomorrow, and we want to keep him in our prayers as well. He's not able to eat anything because at the present stage they're giving him some white stuff to drink that cleans you out. And so that's the stage that he's at tonight and the reason why he's not here. So keep Brother David in your prayers as well. And I don't know who all else. We just pray for one another around here, that's for sure. And we're glad you're here tonight. And these who are sick, you talk to them. They appreciate your prayers very, very much. Be surprised what prayer can do. That's terrible. We'll sure remember him in our prayers too.
This young lady's going to have surgery too.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll be praying for you too, Sue. And Roger's going to have a knee operation again, right?
On the 7th of April.
Okay.
I'll be the bionic man.
Yeah. All right. Thank the Lord for doctors. Jesus shared his ability to heal with a lot of people, didn't he? He did. When you get to hurting and you entrust yourself into the hands of the doctors, you have faith in the Lord and confidence in their ability. So let's look in our Bible tonight. I didn't know what other title to put in here when Bob called about the bulletin. So I told him, well, put in there From Adam to the Flood, number 2. And we may get to the flood tonight, but probably it'll be another week before we get actually to the flood. That's going to be a wonderful study. But tonight, I'm going to go through a part that disappoints some people, because when people get enthusiastic, especially around the end of the year, and begin to make New Year's resolutions, when they do that, one of the resolutions that a Christian will quite often make is, I want to read the Bible through this year. Have you ever done that? Huh? Have you ever kept up with it all the way, or what happens about July when the sun gets hot? But anyway, you begin reading, and the first chapter is pretty interesting because it tells about how God created everything. And then you get over there and you find out everybody God made died. You got a chapter in there that reads like a mortuary notice in the newspaper. And you think everybody's dying off. And then he gives a whole list of people that's similar to a list that's found in Luke, and another one that's found there. One gives the genealogy of Jesus through David, and the other one through Nathan, and it's just one name after another, and you don't know who the people are. You don't know how to pronounce their names. I know how you do when you get there. You skip over it. But let me tell you something. Every one of those people was a real person. They were born into this world just like we were. They lived, regardless of the time that God gave them, they lived from their birth to their death. And after them, they had children that were born, that lived. And every person's name in there was a real person who lived. They had headaches, they had heartaches, and they had problems. And God solved their problems the same as He does ours. It's interesting to read those. I spent 3 months one time going through the Bible and putting on a family tree program that I had all of the names of all of the people in the Bible. And when you get them on one of those family tree programs, you just call up any name and you can go forward or backward and find out who their ancestors were and who their descendants were and all such as that. And it really makes for a nice Bible study, because there are thousands of names in the Bible. It's interesting to go in and study those. Now, last week we talked about the creation, and we got down to the sixth day. We found that on the sixth day, God created man. And then God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so He put Adam into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took a rib from his side and made a woman from that rib. And Adam called her name Eve. And they were in the Garden of Eden that God had prepared for them, a special place. Now, I'm going to skip over the fall of man and the curse of sin that came upon God's world, and continue with this narrative about Adam's family. It's interesting, because remember that both Adam and Eve had no childhood. They were created grown-ups. They were mature adults when they were 1 year old, even 6 months old. And one day, Eve came to Adam and she says, "Adam, I'm pregnant." And Adam probably said, "What's pregnant?" There'd never been a pregnancy before. You've got to remember this. But anyway, 9 months later, she gave birth to a bouncing baby boy. And they agreed on a name for him. They named him Cain. And after a while, they had another child. Now Cain has a baby brother. And they named him Abel. Cain and Abel, living in the Garden of Eden on this new earth that God had made, where everything was good, and the four of them were enjoying life. When they got grown, Cain decided to become a farmer. So I guess he invented the plow and got out and broke up some new ground, began to plant a crop. He tilled the ground. By the way, that was God's original plan for man when He made him. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5. He didn't make him a lawyer. He didn't make him a politician. He didn't make him anything but a farmer. And then Abel looked out there, and he didn't want to be a farmer. He looked out across the pastures and he saw sheep that God had created, and he decided that he would round them up. They had no shepherd. Now you can see a type of Christ in this if you look hard enough. Those sheep had no shepherd. So Abel went out and rounded up a bunch of those sheep, and he became a shepherd. His brother Cain was the farmer, and Abel was the shepherd. A keeper of sheep, the Bible says. I don't know what their relationship was with God back in that day. The last time that we have God appearing to Adam and Eve is when they had sinned and hid in the bushes with their leaf aprons on. And then God clothed them, put a curse upon the earth and upon Satan and a lot of things like that, you know. And that's the last time that he appeared to them there. But they became worshipers of God. And somehow in their physical, spiritual, mental makeup, I think they had a sense of sin and guilt that caused them to want to make a sacrificial offering to God. I don't know what it was really that motivated them, but they had an altar and they both brought offerings to the Lord. Cain, the farmer, went out into the field and he got the biggest, the most perfect, ripe watermelon you ever saw. He said, I'm going to give this to the Lord as a sacrifice. And walking through the cornfield, I'm sure he began to see some of those ears of corn on those stalks, and he says, I'm going to offer some of those to the Lord and give him a sacrificial offering. So he brought the fruit of the ground. God had blessed his crop. It was a good crop. And he brought that to the Lord. Abel didn't have a field that he could go to, but he looked out there at the flock and he saw a little lamb, probably about a year old. God liked lambs that were a year old, apparently, because he talks about their age in several different places in the Bible. And so Abel said, I'll offer this lamb to the Lord. And he did. Now their heart was right with God. They were doing the right thing. But after a while, they got into a heated argument, theological argument, on the subject of religion. Now, usually you get people together and you bring up religion, you're going to get an argument. Nobody's going to agree with you 100%. I don't care how right you think you are, because they think they're right too. And you can get into an argument. And apparently that's what these boys did. They were arguing about what kind of sacrifice to offer to God. And the reason they're arguing is because God had shown favor to Abel and to his offering of the lamb that he brought to the Lord. He showed preference for that blood sacrifice over Cain's sacrifice of the fruit of the field. And if you think about that long enough, I think you'll come to the conclusion that Abel was right, because he used blood to make an atonement for his sin. And We know all the way through the Bible it talks about the blood, doesn't it? The blood of goats and heifers and bullocks and everything like that, all the way through the Bible, until it comes to the fulfillment when the Lamb of God went to Calvary and took away the sins of the world. The blood was shed. Well, anyway, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. He became the first murderer. He became a fugitive. He became a vagabond, the Bible calls him. And he went out of the Garden of Eden, out away from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod. Geographically, the Bible teaches us that the land of Nod was a district outside the Garden of Eden on the eastern side of the garden. Now remember that this is back on the pre-flood world, and we haven't the slightest idea what that looked like because nobody left us a map of it. And anyway, while Cain was there in the land of Nod, the Bible tells us that he married his wife. And that has raised theological questions that, I was in seminary for 3 years, and you get around a bunch of young preachers, you know, they've got more zeal than they have knowledge, and you ask them, where did Cain get his wife, you know, and you've got a theological argument going already. Because they have their own ideas. Each one has his own idea about where Cain got his wife. He apparently got her in the land of Nod. She was what we would call a Nodite. Anyway, he had a wife, and they had a son. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Now they're in the land of Nod, remember. And he named his son Enoch. Now wait a minute. That's not the Enoch who walked with God and was not, for God took him. That's another one. Their names here are quite similar, of the lineage of Seth and the lineage of Cain. You'll notice that as we go through here. And so far as we know, this Enoch became Adam and Eve's first grandchild. Cain built a city in the land of Nod. Guess what he named it? Enoch. Named it after his son. He must have been really proud of Enoch. And Enoch grew up, he married, and he had a son, and he named him Irad, I-R-A-D. And I've often wondered if Irad and Iran and Iraq have anything in common besides their names are pretty close together. But it's over in that part of the country. Who knows? Irad. He was Cain's first grandson. Well, time went by. He married. And he had a son whom he named Mehujael. M-E-H-U-J-A-E-L. And he became Cain's great-grandson. Mehujael grew up, he married, and had a son that was called Methusael, M-E-T-H-U-S-A-E-L. Now see, that reminds you of another fellow that lived to be 969 years old, Methuselah. But this is a different one. Their names are pretty close together. And when he grew up, he got married and had a son and called his name Lamech. Now there's more than one Lamech in this congregation. If Evans was here, I could holler Roger and I'd have three guys stand up. You know, the same name was given to more than one person, Lamech. Interesting thing about Lamech. Lamech married two wives. Chapter 6, verse 19. Married two wives. Now, keep in mind that up until now, there's only been one woman named in the Bible. That was Eve. So who is the next woman who is mentioned by name in the Bible? Now we know that the wives of all these men had names, but their names are not mentioned in the Bible. We don't know what they were. But the next one that is mentioned here is a woman by the name of Ada, A-D-A-H. And his other wife was named Zillah, Z-I-L-L-A-H. So now Lamech, he's got two wives. He's the first bigamist in the Bible that we know of. And Ada bare him two children, Jabel and Jubal. Jabel, you know, when a person is born, I think they have genes that determine what they're going to do. Some of them God gives a gene of music, and some he gives another talent and another talent to someone else. I've often wondered what mine was. But we've got Jabel and Jubal. Now Jabel, he looked out across the plain and he saw all of those beautiful wild mustangs running out there. And he had in his heart a love for horses. So he went out there, built him a corral, and got those horses in there and began to break them to where he could ride them. He became the first cowboy in the Bible. That's Jabel. He was a cattleman. He was a rancher. He had a big spread. And his brother Jubal, he had a different talent. He was a guitar picker. And man, he got a bunch of kids together and they organized a bluegrass guitar picking, mandolin picking, banjo picking band. He was a musician. And I'm sure that they must have played country music, because rap wasn't very popular back in those days, and I'm sure he didn't know rock and roll. And so just a plain old country boy playing guitar and country music. Now his Lamech's other wife, Zillah, she had a baby boy, Tubal-Cain they called him. And he had a different talent. He was good at working with iron and brass. I don't know if he was a welder or what, but he made He was an artifier of that. And I said, what is an artifier? And he says, that's somebody that's got the skill of teaching. And I'm sure that he had a bunch of people out here that he taught to work with iron and steel and brass and metals like that, see. So now we've got old Lamech's really started something. He's got a rancher out here, and he's got a musician over here, and now he's got this guy that makes stuff out of brass and iron. And then Zillah had a daughter. Her name was Naamah, N-A-A-M-A-H. And this is interesting because a lot of people today, Bible scholars, think that Naamah became Noah's wife. Now, we used to have a guy in church, Fred Whalen. You remember Fred? Me and Fred, we had a lot of theological arguments, and, you know, friendly ones. And Fred was one of these. He picked it up somewhere that Naamah was Noah's wife. And we'd get into arguments about that and carry on. The Bible doesn't say she was. She might have been, but like I say, there's no scripture for it. By the way, don't get her mixed up with another Naamah that's mentioned in the Bible, because she was one of Solomon's 1,000 wives. And she turned out to be the mother. She was an Ammonite woman, and she turned out to be the mother of one of Solomon's kids by the name of Rehoboam. And when Solomon died back in 945 B.C., his son Rehoboam succeeded him to the throne of Israel. And it was during his reign that the kingdom was divided between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Now, that's not the end of it. That's just Cain's line. Abel had been killed. There's nothing said in there about any of his children, if he had any. But Eve had another child, another son. They named him Seth. And at the time Seth was born, and you might want to write this in the margin of your Bible, I can give you lots of dates here. In the year 3845 B.C., when Eve was 130 years old, she's the world's oldest mother, back then anyway, she 130 years old, she had a son that they named Seth. That's in chapter 5, verse 3. So Seth replaced, kind of, righteous Abel. So he became in what we would call the righteous line. In the lineage of Christ, you trace, if you go back over into Luke and trace the lineage of Jesus back, you'll find that he goes all the way back down to Seth and to Adam. After Seth was born, Adam lived for another 800 years, during which time he and Eve continued to produce children. And we don't know how many or who they were. There's no list of them. It got destroyed in the flood. got all wet and, you know, messed up. He lived 800 years after that and finally died in 3045 B.C. at the age of 930. Considering the shape that you're in right now, I'd hate to see you at 930. I really would. And I don't know if I could make it or not. I wouldn't be there to see you anyway. 930 years. Now, this is interesting because what we're looking at before the flood. Why did these people live to be nearly 1,000 years old? They didn't quite make it, but they got real close before the flood. And then you'll notice that after the flood, their ages begin to come down and down and down and down. The genealogy of Jesus there traces his ancestry all the way back to Adam through Seth. Now, Seth was 105 years old before he got married. Man, he was a bachelor and a half, wasn't he? 105. And he wasn't like a lot of kids that if they're not engaged by the time they get their high school diploma, they think they're going to be single the rest of their lives. He waited 105 years. And in 3740 B.C., he and his wife had a son whom they named Enos. Enos, no relation. Yes, it is. I traced it. Jackie is kin to Enos. Seth, boy, your lineage goes way back. You put that on a computer program there and go all the way back. Man, life, Jackie. Jackie Enos. Seth continued to live on 807 more years. He fathered sons and daughters. We don't know how many, but the earth could have been getting pretty densely populated because they're living a long time and they're having sons and daughters up till they're 800 or 900 years old. So, Enos, Seth died, by the way, he was 112 years old in 2933 when he passed on in Genesis 5, verses 6 through 8. Enos, he's the third now from Adam, we're tracking them down, through Seth, married. And when he was 90 years old, in 3650 B.C., he and his wife had a son they named Canaan. Now, whether that had anything to do with the land of Canaan over there or not, I don't know. It's kind of flimsy, kind of like that Enos thing. Enos lived 815 more years, fathered other sons and daughters, died at 905 in 2835 B.C. And then Canaan, the fourth from Adam, he grew up and married. And when he was 65 years old in 3515 B.C., he and his wife had a son whom they named Jared. I have a grandson named Jared. They're not the same one, okay? Jared. And let me see, I missed one. Canaan. I was talking about Canaan. Canaan, the fourth from Adam, married when he was 70, had a son, Mahalalel. Boy, they're coming up with some fancy names, aren't they? He was born in 3580 B.C. Canaan lived 840 more years, fathered other sons and daughters, died at the age of 910 in 2740 B.C., Genesis 5, 12, 14. Mahalalel, now he's five generations down from Adam, and he's the one that had Jared. Then he lived 830 more years and fathered other sons and daughters, died at the... By the way, how many of you know that Methuselah was the oldest man? 969 years. Who's number two? Who was number two? See, you don't even know. I mean, number two, you might as well have been a number 100. If you're not number one, nobody's going to remember you. We remember Methuselah because he set the record. He was number one. We'll find out in a moment who number two was. Not Jared. It was Jared. He lived 800 more years. He was 162 in 3353 B.C. when they had a son, and they named him Enoch. And then he lived 800 more years and died at the age of 962. So Jared, the father of Enoch, the one that got translated, was number two. He got the silver medal, I guess. And somebody else got a bronze one. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. This now is before the flood. Before the flood. And remember how the Bible describes the days before the flood? They were filled with violence. Everybody was mean just about it. Enoch married when he was 65 years old in 3288 B.C. He and his wife had a son they named Methuselah. And the name Methuselah means, get this, you'll have to remember this, when he is dead, it shall be sent. So when Methuselah was born, and when Enoch named him, Enoch must have had a special revelation from God that when his son Methuselah died, the flood was going to come, and Methuselah lived 969 years, nearly a millennium. That is a lot of warning that God gave, and the closer that they got to the flood, the more often God would warn the people. They didn't pay any mind to it. They didn't repent or anything. They just got meaner. Said, we just got a short time here. We're going to get be as mean as we can. And that's exactly what they did. But when they got down to 120 years, that's when Noah comes into the picture. And he'd been around for a long time, we're going to find out. And for 120 years, the time is getting close. Time for the flood to come. A time when God is going to destroy man whom he's created from off the face of the earth. But look at the warning he's giving. You talk about being long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish. Every time they looked at Methuselah, they should have known that he was a sign from God that when he's dead, it shall be sent. And sure enough, it was. Now, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God for another 300 years. Isn't that wonderful? He walked with God for 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God, and when he was 365 years old, in 2988 B.C., Hebrews 11:5 tells us, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. That means they went out looking for him, the same as they did whenever Elijah went to heaven. Remember that? Elisha went back, and those people says, where's Elijah? Oh, God took him to heaven. Oh, no. He's probably laying out there under a bush or a tree somewhere, dead. And they went out and looked for him. They didn't find him. They went out again the next day and they searched for him. And they never did find him, because that chariot that took him to heaven didn't leave no tracks. And now here we have Enoch. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Methuselah, the eighth from Adam, married. And when he was 187 years old, in 3101 B.C., he and his wife had a son they named Lamech. Remember Cain had one of those Lamechs? Okay. Methuselah lived 782 more years and fathered other sons and daughters, died at the age of 969 in 2319 B.C. He set the world's record for longevity. It remains unbroken, by the way. This is something that's interesting too. When Methuselah was 718 years old, there was a king, a pharaoh down in Egypt, who died. And when he died, they built a big pyramid down there. It became his mausoleum. It's still there. And did you know that right there in Egypt, that great pyramid was over 300 years old when the flood came? And so far as we know, it is the only structure built by man that predates the flood. Now, we're going to get into this next week. It's going to get better, because I don't want to keep you all night, even though this is time change, you know. All right. So that's our excuse for tonight. But I've got to tell you this. That pyramid over there in Egypt, so far as we know, is the only surviving building that predates the flood. Remember that. And I think they had to dig that out of the sand. It was dedicated at Giza in Egypt in 2570 B.C. All right, Lamech, who's Methuselah's daddy. He's the ninth from Adam. He married, and when he was 182 years old, in 2919 B.C., he and his wife had a little boy that they named Noah. Noah. Lamech lived 595 more years and fathered many more sons and daughters. But when Lamech was 56 years old, his great, 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 great grandpa, Adam, died at the age of 30, 45 B.C. Lamech died. He died before his daddy did. He died before his son, Methuselah, did. Lamech was 777 years old in 2324 B.C. That was 5 years before his father, Methuselah, died in 2319 B.C. Noah, having been born in 2919 B.C., was 500 years old. He wasn't a spring chicken. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they were 100 years old at the time of the flood. And all three of them were married. That means that Noah was 400 years old when they were born. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That's what God records about him. And Noah walked with God. And God said of Noah, "Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." He's the one that God said, "Noah, build an ark." And who was saved on the ark? Noah, his wife, his three sons, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. Wasn't that, was it?
No way.
No way. We're getting our boys mixed up. Okay. How about Shem, Ham, and Japheth? That sound better? All right. And their wives. Eight souls out of all of this multitude who were on the face of the earth. Eight souls saved on the ark. Next week we'll talk about the rain. That's going to be interesting. I think you'll like it. Appreciate you listening tonight, and hope you'll retain some of this that I taught you. It's really interesting. These were real people. They lived in some hard times, a time of wickedness and violence, such as that. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. And the coffee is made in there. This is the second Sunday night of the month. So we're going to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries of those who have birthdays. I didn't even look at the bulletin today. Who had a birthday? Huh? It didn't